నిర్మలాయ ప్రశాంతాయ. దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః. ఓం నమః ప్రణవార్థాయ శుద్ధ జ్ఞానైకమూర్తయే నిర్మలాయ ప్రశాంతాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః. ఓం. ఎనీటైమ్ వి సీ దిస్ వర్డ్, ఎనీటైమ్ వి సీ అ మంత్ర దట్ స్టార్ట్స్ విత్ ఓం, యు మస్ట్ థింక్ ఇట్ ఇస్ అ మంత్ర. బై చాంటింగ్ దిస్, బై మెడిటేటింగ్ అపాన్ దిస్, వన్ కెన్ ఫ్రీ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ సంసార. So what are we meditating on? Om Namaha. Prostration. Unto who? Pranava Arthaya. Pranava. The Om symbol. That first sound. That which is the essence of that first sound. Shabda Brahma. To that Brahman, salutations, prostration. What is that? Shuddha Jnana Eka Murti. Eka Murti. One form. Homogeneous. Never changing. One whose nature never changes. It's always the same. It is Shuddha. It is Jnana. So the form of pure knowledge is this Dakshinamurti. So all of these, if we see, Pranavarthaya, Ekamurtaye, Nirmalaya, Prashantaya, Dakshinamurtaye, these are all in fourth case, which means for them is the prostration. So who is this Dakshinamurti? Shuddha Jnana Eka Murti, of the form of pure knowledge. And therefore pure knowledge means knowledge which is not polluted by the world. Knowledge which doesn't arise because of the awareness of an object. Knowledge which is not tainted by the vasanas, that which is independent awareness, that knowledge, that is only it. Only one knowledge is that. So Shuddha Jnana Eka Murtaye Nirmala, one who is extremely pure, nirmala, without any dirt. So when we say dirt, we have to understand avidya, kama, karma. This is the greatest dirt. Avidya, ignorance. Ignorance leads to kama. Kama leads to karma. So avidya, kama, karma. This is the impurity. One who is devoid of nirmala, pure. Prashantaya, shanti, peaceful. There is no agitation. Agitation caused by the mind, agitation caused by the transaction. None of it is there. One who is ever peaceful. To such Bhagavan Dakshinamurti is the salutation of prostration. This is the Dhyana Shloka of Dakshinamurti. Let us delve into then our first shloka of Dakshinamurti Sloka. 10 verses. and the whole stotram is present. Let's chant the first shloka. Vishwam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam. Pashyannatmani mayaya bahirivodbhutam yatha nidrayam. Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye swatmanam evadvayam. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Together this time. Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nijantargatam Pashyannatmani Mayaya Bahirivod Bhutam Yatha Nidrayam Yasakshat Kurute Prabodha Samaye Swatmanam Evadvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. This last line, Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye, will appear in next 9 shlokas. So it is a common theme in all next shlokas. And the last shloka, which is the Phalashruti. So by chanting this, by knowing the meaning of this, what is the phala attained by that person? That is explained in 10th shloka. This is the flow. We'll first see this last piece. Then we will see the remaining words. First, drawing attention to Shri Guru Murtaye and Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Murti, form. Murtaye, for the one who has this form. That is. So both are same. Guru Murtaye, Dakshina Murtaye. Guru, the one who is a form of a guru, and one who is a form of Dakshina Murti. Lord Dakshina Murti Bhagavan. In Sanskrit, whenever we find two things, but they are in the same vibhakti, in Sanskrit, the same case, like how we were seeing in the Dhyana Shloka, right? That Namaha Dakshinamurtaye Namaha, prostration to Dakshinamurti. Who is this Dakshinamurti? One who is a pranava artha, one who is a shuddha jnana eka murtaye, one who is nirmalaya, prashantaya. So they are all referring to Dakshinamurti. Like that, whenever something is presented in same case, they are both indicative of one thing. Like that, by that, what is meant is Dakshinamurti and Guru are both the same. Lord Dakshinamurti alone is the Guru. They're not two different. What is this Guru? When we say that for many, many generations, somebody has done sadhana, somebody who worshipped Bhagwan for one reason alone. Bhagwan, I'm tired of this samsara. When will you get me out of this samsara? When that ardent prayer has been done by the devotee. And the prayer is heard by the Bhagwan. Bhagwan says, Tathastu. And Bhagwan then says, who can I send so that you get this knowledge? Because nobody else is there. I have to do my job. So let me alone go. And Bhagwan then comes as a guru. So that same Bhagwan whom we have worshipped for so many years takes the form as a guru. That is who our guru is. So we should not see that guru is just another person. Guru is that Bhagwan. Somebody who feels it very blasphemous. How can you put the picture of a guru and picture of Bhagwan in the same place? They don't understand what is guru. Therefore, they don't understand the equation here. We are not saying that guru is equal to Bhagwan. We are saying guru is Bhagwan. Therefore, there is no difference in that. When this vision arises, then the understanding comes that love that Guru has, that compassion that Guru has for me, is specially catered to me. Because Bhagwan loves me so much, he made sure he fine-tuned everything so that I get all those things that are necessary for my development. I don't like to sit straight. But if I'm in front of Guru, then I have no choice. I have to look past my pain, bodily pain, and to make sure that I'm attentive. I want to serve. In which way, which fashion do I serve? Guru comes and says, here, can you help me with this? And then we get the ability to serve. But who are we serving? Not a human. We are serving that Bhagwan only in the form of that Guru. So Guru Mahima is very great. And that is what is equated here by Adi Shankaracharya. He says that who is this Dakshinamurti? He is a Guru only. And there is one shloka. I don't know the shloka, but I had heard it. Where Vidyaranya Swamiji says, in praise of Adi Shankaracharya, that you are that guru who is also the Dakshinamurti. So he is, Adi Shankaracharya is saying is, Dakshinamurti Bhagwan is my guru. Vidyaranya Swamiji says, Shankaracharya is that guru who is also Dakshinamurti. He's a Shankara form only. is avatar of Lord Shankara only. So to this Guru, Namaha. Namaha, prostration. But before that, there is one word that is also, not word, but there is one prefix that is common in both. Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshina Murtaye. Both have Shri. And Shri is wealth. Now, when we say Bhagwan, we know what is the wealth of Bhagwan. All the possibilities are there. Bhagwan has Goddess Lakshmi with him, who has the treasure of all the wealth. What wealth does Guru have? Our Puja Gurudev, I hear from Shankar ji many times, Shankar Pillai ji, that Gurudev would say in conversation, and he was there or he had heard it, or to him also, I don't know exactly, but Gurudev would say that siddhis we should not run after. As a seeker, one who is performing sadhanas, siddhis will come to them. Anima, lagima, mahima, garima, prakamya. All these siddhis will come. But sadhak should not fall for them. So sadhana will give Shri. And who is this Guru? Guru is one who has this wealth. All this ashtashiddhi is there. But the greatness of the Guru is, has the deep sense of vairagya that doesn't want these siddhis at all. These are nothing. I don't want that. I don't run after that. That is also bhavaroga only. I don't want any of that. So strong vairagya is there that renounce all of that. So Shri is that. Vairagya. Shri is that knowledge. This knowledge is that wealth with Guru. So wealth, one who is possession of all of this wealth. So this is who Dakshinamurti is. This is who my Guru is. So one who possesses all of this wealth can definitely make me wealthy. How much benefit I can get? So if I come, if I learn from this Guru, I will also have Shri. So Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshina Murtaye, Namaha. Namaha means salutation, prostration. But the word Namaha has again a very great meaning. We say when we greet each other, Namaste, correct? Namaste we say. But if we break down this word, Namaha Te. Salutations to you. And what is the sign for Namaha Te? This is what we say, Namaste, correct? So what are we doing? We know this already, but I'm connecting this idea here that there is an identity between you and me, and that is one identity. Okay? So this is a reminder of the self within you, self within me is one. To that self is a prostration. It means that self, which is Ishvara, that Paramatma, that Brahman, which is this Ishvara, alone is this guru. And that alone is me. There is an identity here. So namaha means that I am that Paramatma. I am that same essence as Guru. I am not Guru. In the form, I am not Guru. I am a Shishya only. But in essential nature, I am that Self. So an identity between Ishvara and Jiva also pointed out. There is oneness there. So namaha, prostration to Dakshinamurti, prostration to the Guru, who is my own identity, who is myself. I am them. Idam namaha, this salutation. By this meaning, the salutation which comes in the form of the shloka. This whole stotram, by individual shlokas, in each one of them, idam namaha, idam namaha, idam namaha. So this salutation, this salutation, this salutation. So I am saluting my guru. I am saluting this Paramatma. I am saluting that Ishvara by this shloka. This is the word idam. So idam namaha. And tasmai idam namaha. Tasmai. Unto him. For him. For whom. That is the entire remainder of the shloka. For this Dakshinamurti, who is my guru, who is my essential nature, is my prostration. But who is this Dakshinamurti? Who is, for whom is this? Rest of the shloka describes that. So let's look at that. We start with the word Vishwam. Vishwam. Vividham Shwayati. That moves multifariously. That is what we call as Vishwam. That is continuously moving at all times. There is no stop at all. We think that the world stops at night. Everybody goes to sleep. But we are wrong. In our neighborhood itself, we'll find, you know, cars moving here and there. The most hustling, bustling city you go to, people are, the world never stops. If it stopped, then it will become inert. That which is inert is portrayed as sentient, as moving. It's because of this self. So Vishwam, this world, where is this world? Where can you find this? Our perception is the world is outside. The family that I have, friends that I have, co-workers that I work, car, malls. So where is the world? World is outside. But Adi Shankaracharya says, no. Nija antargatam. The world is within us. The world is not outside. The world is within us. The point here is that when we perceive the world, our misconception, our misunderstanding is that the world is outside. But I cannot perceive the world outside without the mind, which is inside. with the medium of the mind, I go out. But when I do go out, it's only as though I am going out, and perceiving them inside only. So the world, I'm not perceiving external, I'm perceiving inside. So Vishwam Nija Antargatam, it is within me. Now the moment I say, now here comes the analysis, okay? So let's open our thinking cap here and think a little bit. When we say the world is within me, question arises, what is the relationship between this world and me? Because when you say it is within me, I have to have some kind of contact with this world. When I contact the world externally, the objects of the world externally, I know what is the relationship. But when we say that this world is within me, who is Nija? Who is me? The self. So when we say that the world is in the self, what is the relation between the world and the self? Now, relationship can be of two kinds. Where one is connected to each other, but are separately intact. What do we mean by that? Connected to each other, but separately intact. You are sitting on a chair, table, asana, correct? You are contacting that chair, table, asana, aren't you? But are you that chair, table, asana? No. So there is a relation, but the relationship is what we would call as non-pervasive contact. You're not pervading that, but you're still contacting that. So should I think that my connection, the self's connection with the world is like that? It is connected, it is contacted with this world, but it is not pervading. Or should we say it is a pervasive contact? Meaning, how you may be wearing different color clothes, say blue or red. The redness is pervading through the entire cloth. So is it that kind of relation where it is pervading through the entire object? So two ways relationship can be had. One is contact, connection, but one doesn't pervade another. We mean they are separately existing. And another is where one is intertwined with each other and existing. What is that relation? And second thing is, second question comes, Vishwam we say, the world we say is changing at all times. But the self is non-changing. Correct? We know self cannot be changing because that is my nature. Nature cannot be changing. But the world we see is changing. World is tangible, gross. Self is subtle. World is inert. Self is sentient. World is dukkhamaya. Self is anandarupa. So we see that there is a difference in the world and difference in the self. How can two different things coexist, have a relation with each other? Question number two. So from just these two points, Vishwam Nija Antargatam, the world is in the self. And we say, what do you mean by that? What is the relationship between the world and me? Is there some relationship that I should understand? And how could there be a relationship with the world of the self? Because both are of different properties, different nature itself. How can of those two nature come together? Adi Shankaracharya says, very good question. The answer in one word. Darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam. The whole question answered in one word. Maunavyakhya. But close to Maunavyakhya. Adi Shankaracharya had to say something, but it is as close to saying nothing only. What is the relationship shared? Tulyam. Just like Nagari, like the city. Just like the city, Drushyamana, seen Darpana. In the mirror. Just like the city seen in the mirror is the relationship of the world with the self. This is the relationship. So the point is what? The point is, when you see the city reflected in the mirror, what kind of contact is it? Can you say that the world is actually touching the mirror? No. So there is no non-pervasive contact. Like how we are sitting on a table chair. There's a table, there's a me. Two different, but are contacting each other. There is one, a support, another is supported. I am being supported by the seat. Is there a relationship like that with the city reflected in the mirror? No, not at all. There is no relation with that. Oh, can we say it is pervading? The city is pervading through the mirror. No, cannot even say that. So it is neither pervasive contact, neither non-pervasive contact. Both are not there. So then what is it? It is a reflection. This world is a reflection on the self. That is the only way we can say a relationship exists. Okay, so I know it was a heavy dose today. Let's contemplate on this for a week And then next week, we'll build upon this idea of what is this relationship? What is Bhagwan Adi Shankaracharya trying to get to us? The overall idea is Bhagwan Dakshinamurti is my guru, and for him, my prostration, because I see the identity. I am that Brahman. I see that identity. This is the identity that my guru is teaching me. How is he teaching me? For what am I saluting, prostrating? To show that this Vishwa is in me, the self. It cannot be in me with some kind of actual physical contact that it is supporting me. Like how I have a hand and it is being supporting the cell phone. This is a non-pervasive contact, supporting. So self is not supporting the world in this manner. Nor is it supporting by pervading through all of it. So how is it supporting? What is that relation? We say it is a relationship of superimposition. The world is superimposed on the self. That is the only plausible relationship explainable. And when you do that, it also answers the second point. What was the second point? Both are different in its nature. Mirror is completely pure. Mirror is one in its nature. But the world that is projected on it have different things. In that world, you will see trees, you will see houses, you will see animals, you will see humans, you will see birds, you will see everything. So different things, which is the Vishwa, but is projected on one unanimous thing. Mirror is completely untouched. Yet, the world is touching. Mirror is sukshma. World is gross. World is attached. Mirror is unattached. Likewise is my relationship with the world. My, the self. Self is completely unattached. Self is completely pure. Self is always one of the nature of sukha. Therefore, it cannot have any of the upadhis, the conditionings of the world on. So if I see conditioning, what should I understand? That conditioning is a superimposition. That is the idea. So let's pause here and we'll continue forward with this thought next time. This is how the whole Dakshinamurti Stotra is going to be. It will be enjoyable, but it will also be a little bit of thinking on our part. So let's pray to Bhagwan Dakshinamurti, and may we also get our buddhi to shine so we can grasp this knowledge well. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. हरिओम
हरिओम, थैंक यू.